It's the editing challenge, and Gabriel's under the spotlight. Will his edited interview help him cut and paste his way to the top? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. It's Gabriel we'll be following today as he makes his way through the editing challenge. We'll listen in on his coaching session with Tom Merritt, and we'll hear his entry at the end of the show. But before any of that, I spoke to Gabriel about his plans for the editing. Here with Gabriel talking about, our well-crafted interview that we've given him. First off, before we even talk about that, let's talk about the demise of teams and on to the solo competition. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this a little bit, and only you could manage this, because I did say at the beginning that I am not a fan of team projects.
That's right. And we talked about the first episode. Yeah.
Yeah, and now that I'm doing a solo project, I'm still roundabout doing a team project. How dare you?
You're just teamed up with somebody you've never met, interviewing somebody you've never talked to.
Absolutely. So, no, it's an interesting challenge for sure. It is one that is obviously taking me to my wits and a lot of kind of narrative to think about of how to approach this.
Sure. And how are you feeling about the interview now that you've had a chance to listen to it maybe once, twice, a couple times?
I mean, obviously the interview is a nightmare. Well done, sir.
My pleasure.
But there's things in there obviously to glean. I can see, like, when you look at it for I listened to it like 4 or 5 times now, and you can see where you could kind of make a story. There's probably 4 stories you can make out of it, depending which way you want to go with it. Mm-hmm. So it is a case of paring things down and editing it, dealing with sound levels and hiccups and stuff. And obviously things that if you're doing a show, you have to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
we made sure to have every single potential mind. I mean, if this kind of interview ever happened to anybody, I'd feel so bad for him, because everything that could possibly go wrong with it went wrong with this interview. So,
as Kristen and I listened to it actually together, because she was here, we're like, all right, let's listen together. We both looked at each other and almost in unison went, if this was our interview, we would have scrapped it 5 minutes in and just redid the whole thing.
Good. Very good. So how are you feeling about framing it? What are you thinking about turning it into a smaller podcast in a larger series, basically?
Ultimately, that's the challenge. I mean, as much as it's a technical issue, the big issue is taking the part that I would want to make turn into a show and turn it into a show. I have a couple ideas that I'm going to kind of run by Tom when I have an opportunity to speak with them. Mm-hmm. Other than that, though, it's kind of going to have to be a trial by fire. And as I'm hoping that as I'm parsing things out into sections that I want to kind of build my own narrative with, to make that go along the lines of like, okay, this sounds like a thing. And then at that point, I could just plug in the rest of the, yeah, sure, this is a series based on interrupting cats. Congratulations. I did a 2 week series of that or something. So that I'm not too worried about filling in that narrative, but the issue is going to be finding the story that's compelling.
Right. Yeah. Cats that get stuck under couches. That's actually the 5th story that somebody could pull out of this, episode. Excellent. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you put together from this thing, and looking forward to hearing your talk with Tom and your ideas, and seeing what kind of guidance he can provide for you.
Yeah, he's been good so far, and it's been a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to this.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on making it this far. Can't wait to hear what you do from here.
Awesome. Thank you much, sir. Mm-hmm.
Tom Merritt had some good advice for our team. Let's listen.
Well, first of all, Gabe, congratulations on making it all this way. That's awesome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
How are you feeling about this week's editing obstacle course?
I told Brian a little bit earlier, because we made the joke that I am the one that doesn't care for group projects all that much. And yet somehow, even on a day where I'm doing a solo thing, I'm still kind of doing a group project.
Right, because you have to deal with what other people did. It's like a virtual group project. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
So how are you thinking of approaching it?
Well, obviously the audio is all over the place and it's a mess. For me, it was trying to find a point of thematic of where I want to go, because although it's jumbled, it still could tell a story if you want to piece it together. The idea I'm kind of wanting to go with is something along the lines of, since we're talking about comics and stuff, of like power couples or relationships through either podcasting or comics or something like that. I know these two are married, and like they do talk about how they met and how they started collaborating, and then some of their favorite comics and stuff. So going on that route of making a concise show of like, hey, we're talking about, you know, these power couples in podcasting or these power couples in these shows could be a route to go by putting this information together.
So, okay, I like that as a concept, as sort of a framing of like, you know, power couples of podcasting. This week we're talking about Ashley and Jason. What would the presentation look like? Are you just going to try to clean up the interview and leave Joe in it and kind of make a clean interview?
That's the part I've been debating. If I want to do that or if I just want to pull them out, because it becomes a case of just like with the other interview stuff where we might, or I might be able to do the presentation and basically pull clips. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to this thing like 4 or 5 times and trying to commit it to memory so I could get the cadence and everything else like smooth in my head to see if I can insert myself there. And that's where I guess ultimately where the problem was for me, of even having to ask for clarification in terms of what are the rules specifically for this contest of what can I get away with? What can I do?
Sure. And the rule says you could pretend to be the interviewer, right? The exactly. question is, will the judges like that? Right. You know, you have to take into account, and I think Scott would be fine with it. I wonder if Jenny and maybe even Justin, whether they would be rubbed the wrong way by you pretending to be the interviewer.
And some of the things, like one of the things at the end too, is they're saying, hey, you know, can you leave? Because obviously they got the gaffe, they kind of make fun of Brian in there for the bad acting. But like on a professional level, if who I'm interviewing says, hey, can you nix that? I would as an editor be like, absolutely. Like you don't want to break that trust. So it's a case of, okay, where do I want to go? Therefore, if I'm going to be the editor, if I want to go to the letter of the law here, then yeah, it's a case of I'm going to focus on being editing. I'm going to clean it up as much as possible and present it as an editor. Hey, this is as good as I can make it. This is as clean and concise. Here we go.
Let me ask you this. This and a follow-up, okay? But this is the important question. Which do you think is your strength the most, editing or presentation?
Well, editing probably be my strength, except I don't have, that's the thing that kills me on this, is I don't have the equipment to do crazy amounts of editing. So it's going to be a lot of zooming in. And as Hammond taught me, Zoom is my friend. So it's going to be a lot of going manually going through stuff.
What are you using, Audacity?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So zoom in, use multiple tracks, copy and paste. You can do a lot with that. It takes a little bit more time sometimes, but you can do a lot with that. Well, if you think editing, let's forget the mechanics of it, which does make it more difficult. But if you think you've got the eye for the editing, then the question is, do you look at this, and this does play into the mechanics, and think I can make a good show out of what's here?
I believe so. Like I said, I think the content is there. So it's a case of cutting it around. And again, with the Ptolemy, especially with Ptolemy being someone that kind of rapid fire comments, being able to cut some of his questions. And like in our show, we actually took a question 3 and question 5 and cut them in half and actually took the answers from 5 and rolled it into 3. So it's like one long question.
Well, I think that's, I think where I'm going with this line of questioning, Your Honor, is if you think editing's your strength and you think you can salvage without having to replace, I think that might be the better way to go for you, is to just leave your own voice out of it, except maybe at the beginning and end. You probably want to do some kind of setup that's like, hey, welcome to our show this week. Our intrepid interviewer went and did X, Y, and Z. You might want to do something like that. But let the editing shine for you in this case. If you think that's going to show you at your best advantage, because it's another skill to try to either write narration that sets up the bites or replace the interview questions, like you say, and try to match the cadence and all that. It's doable, but it's a different skill and you've only got so much time.
Right.
Yeah. How, after all of that, which way are you leaning? Which way sounds better for you?
I mean, and again, that's going to be, that is my plan for tonight, is to 100% solve that, of going through, like, as is. I look like Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia with, like, when he's going through the conspiracy map. I've got notebook paper all over my table as I'm trying to figure it out. And, okay, where does the story go? What do I want to cut? What do I want to tell? And then at that point, I could go, where do I want to interject myself, or do I not?
Yeah, no, I think that's the right way to go. You want to figure out what the story you want to tell is and how to edit that down. Then edit it down and see if there's places where you can hide the flaws, right? You can't do anything about flaws in their answers, but you can definitely do things about flaws in the questions. You could, like you say, you can merge answers together and cut out questions. If you look at it and you're like, the only way this is going to work is if I reword stuff, then that comes down to that. Do I want to sort of vaguely pretend like I'm interviewing them, or do I want to do a narrated bit where I set up excerpts? Or something, there's something in between that you can do where you don't pretend to interview them, but you sort of set up each question as, so we asked them, blah, 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 and then you play their answer. So it feels a little bit like an interview without actually pretending like it is.
Yeah, that's another kind of a route of looking at it and go, like, how basically at that point it becomes sound bites of their own, of like,
yeah, hey, yeah,
we asked them this and give, you know, an answer.
But I like that you want to preserve this interview, that you see a story in there in the interview, because I think that can play really nicely. If you can meet that editing challenge, you can then go to the judges and say, I didn't back away from the difficulty of this. I didn't find a shortcut.
I think that's where I want to go for sure. I wanted to, yeah. I asked Brian, like, what is the technical thing? And to me, I want to go with the letter of the law here. I want to be the editor. I want to clean this up and present it and be like, hey, this is what I was given and this is what I did.
Yeah. I think that can even forgive a few mistakes possibly. If you just really focus on that. So, would you still do like a top and tail in your voice though?
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't recall if there's enough of an introduction in the interview itself to stand on.
Not really. Because he does a quick, like, hi, this is Dr. Joe, and go. So it will be a point of me laying into, this is what we're doing, this is what the show's about. And then as you said, our interviewer went out and spoke with blah, you know, Justin and Ash, and here we go.
All right. Any other questions?
No, just, I mean, again, I'm in a very interesting place because I don't have some of the tech like some of our other contestants, and it's just going for it.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I edit in Audacity on a Mac Mini. I don't have a lot of special technology. I have an 8-channel mixer, but I don't use it for editing. There is nothing I can't do in that. You know, you have to have knowledge of how to do the things in it. There's certain effects that you might need to add to it, you know, so it is a little trickier that way, but you can totally do it. And I think if you drop that little bomb to the judges too, and like, oh, by the way, I did this in Audacity, like, you know, that's a little multiplier skill effect too, but it's absolutely doable. You can do this.
All right. Well, that's the angle I'm going with it.
Yeah. Commit to it. I think you've got the right idea, and I don't doubt that you can make this work.
I appreciate it.
What are you going to call it?
I'm still working on a name. I was going to say, I wasn't sure if I want to go with the power coupling of podcasting or power coupling with comics, because something like Stuck Between the Pages, that kind of has a dirty euphemism, but kind of funny at the same time. But something along those lines. But if I go specifically couples of podcasting, I'll come up with a name. We have a tendency of coming up with names like Saturday morning. So
can you use power coupling as the name?
I gotta do a wiki search to make sure
it's
something
else.
Really
good.
Okay, that's time.
Because that could be, you could even play it off as like power coupling. You know, we've had our podcasters series and we've had our comics series. This week it's both, you know, like you could just, you know,
as long as it doesn't mean something.
Okay, it's time. Whoa, time. Stop having fun.
All right, cool. Gabe, good luck, man. This is great. I think you've got the right idea, and I've 100% behind you.
All right, sir. Have a good one. All right.
All right. Take care.
And remember, no fun.
I know. Hammond, boy.
No fun zone. I even gave Hammond a plug and everything. Jeez.
I know.
I know. Wow.
All right. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys.
Bye. All right. Take care.
Welcome to Dynamic Duos, where we scour the internet in search of the secret identity of your favorite pair of podcasting duos. This week, we interview Jason Inman and Ashley Victoria Robinson of the Geek History Lesson podcast. Having started in February of 2014, this successful show continues to put out weekly episodes about a variety of pop culture characters that will have you laughing and learning all at the same time. Get ready. Get set. Here we go with Dr. Joe.
This is Dr. Joe. I am here with Ashley Victoria Robinson and Jason Inman, who goes by Jawin.
Yeah, Jawin. That works.
Well, let me ask you guys, how did you guys first come together? Like the very beginning of your connection?
So my very first job in the United States and in Los Angeles, I worked at a comic book store that does not exist anymore called Blast Off in North Hollywood. And that is where I first met Jason Inman. And when you work in a comic book store, you can kind of profile people based on the types of books that they buy. Men of a certain age tend to buy certain comics. Women of a certain age tend to buy certain comics, you know, kids, so on and so forth. Jason made some really interesting comic book choices. So I said, hey, that guy's probably smart and interesting. And that's how we first met.
So Jason was buying heavy metal?
You know, if he'd been buying heavy metal, that would have been pretty impressive because it's not super, super common in the States. But he was buying a New 52 Wonder Woman, Blue Beetle, and Young Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And Young Avengers is an all-time favorite of mine.
There was a sale and I was completing my runs.
I find it spectacular that you recall what issues he was...
It's a part of our creative mythology. So, of course, I remember. I can't remember anyone's phone number, but I can remember those titles.
Oh, great. So actually, that brings me to an interesting point. You guys collaborate a ton together. How did you guys start collaborating?
I had an idea for a web series, and I posited it to Jason. And he said, great. And Jason was already working in YouTube and had a channel and had a great following there. And I said, could we put it on your channel? And he said, yeah, sure. And Jason came full of expertise, and his only requirement was that I, you know, wrote scripts or did a certain amount of work in order to balance out the amount of work that he was doing. He would be doing. It doesn't come anywhere near a fair balance. Jason wound up doing most of the work on the series that became The Red Shirt Diaries. But that was our first big creative collaboration. We did a couple other smaller things, and we'd been pitching and developing comics ever since then. But we're two people who have similar tastes, who are often in the same spot. So I think it was an inevitability.
Anything on your side, Jason?
Yeah, I think the similar taste is a great way to put it. I think we do vary in certain parts. Like, I'm not a huge fan of RuPaul's Drag Race. Please don't stone me, internet. we have a lot of similar tastes in terms of like dramatic arcs and stuff like that. And a lot of times our conversations will turn into just pitch fest. Like, we'll do a lot of alternate takes on like television shows we're watching of like, oh, like, you know, we always come up with, oh, what if they did this in that season, or what if they did this, or what if Captain Kirk was in charge of the Enterprise D, and all those kinds of places. So it just made it to where collaborating on our own stuff became kind of the same kind of mode.
You mentioned your web series, The Red Shoe Diaries.
It's Red Shirt Diaries.
Oh, yeah. Red Shoe Diaries is a very different show, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's Billy Piper's show.
Wait, isn't that the porno show?
She's low-key more famous. I would say it's not porn, but it's...
Close enough.
Oh, that's great. I'm trying to... It's really intriguing to me because it's not really... It's not fanfic. I mean, it's sort of fan content, I guess. And I'm curious about the combination of the inspiration of it and then the challenge of writing something independent but with lots of callbacks to the actual episodes.
Yeah, it's tough how to quantify that. Sort of the kindest word, I guess, is pastiche, and now people just call it fan films, and now there's rules on how to do that. We were lucky to be in the before time, before there were any rules or regulations about that. But the idea came about because I wanted to watch all the episodes in order and do a review. And then Jason said, oh, we should make it narrative. But the balance of working in someone else's world, because Retro Diaries is much more comedic than a classic Trek episode, was really trying to pull out the hilarious nuggets because, you know, TOS was made in the 60s. So there are things that to a modern audience seem really, really hilarious. And that really was comedy gold for us.
Ashley's exactly right on that point. It's the fact that we had to be very careful about not just copying the storylines of the regular episode, and that's why we came up with this character, Ensign Williams, who is like the lowest ranked character on the original Enterprise, and that she would experience all these episodes from a different perspective. And you know, that would allow us to do some gold and have parallel narratives and stuff like that. We actually think that they're perfect, like little Easter egg things. And the fact that, you know, you should watch the original series episode and then watch our episode, because that's how you'll get all the, because all the names, all the tech is actually from that episode.
That's excellent. You guys, in getting ready to talk to you today, I spent a bunch of time listening to Geek History Lessons. And I want to say I really appreciate this because, much like a World War II veteran hearing people talk about the history of the 40s, I feel like what you're describing as a history was my contemporary times. So a lot of these ancient stories from the 90s and 2000s, that was my peak comic experience. And relatedly, I want to touch on something that you talked about, something you talked about just a while back. Yeah, Blink is definitely the most underrated X-Men character.
Yes, that's from our top five X-Men episode, underrated X people episodes, I guess. Blink is incredible. She has such a great design, and it's such a bummer that she hasn't been better utilized, but they made an action figure of her. So if you're a follower of our action figure spotlight, go check that out.
Well, let me ask you guys, as up to date as you are, can you explain like the Powers of X and House of X and what happened with that? Or is that too not yet history enough?
Oh, I'm going to throw to Jason for that because I just started reading it.
Oh, yes. I can tell you about the greatest X-Men storyline in the last 20 years. And it's kind of given the X-Men universe a kick in the pants towards the future, which it so desperately needs.
This is a retcon. And is that's right, right?
Yeah, it plays around with this idea of time because it shows you everything in the book is done by X1 or X2, but it's like it's X-Men year one. So X1 is like the year that Charles Xavier founds the X-Men the very first time. And then current Marvel timeline is X10, which is 10 years after the fact. But then they also show you X100 and X1000.
That's the powers. That's the powers of X.
Exactly. And it gets
the powers of 10.
Yeah, it gets into some interesting stuff. Again, there's not too much you can say about it without spoiling all of it. So I will just say, I don't think you need to know anything about the X-Men, or if you have a basic knowledge of the X-Men, like you've seen the movies, I think you can totally pick it up and enjoy it. It's also weirdly self-contained.
You know, let me do something, change the pace a little bit. We're going to do What If Your Life, right? So I am Uatu, the Watcher, and I have now put you in an alternate issue of your life. So at what point, you know, where's the key change and what happened? So we're going to What If Your Life. How about you first, Ashley?
Oh, that's like there's two super easy things for me. First one is sad, but we'll do it anyway.
What If My Life, if it didn't happen, my father passed away when I was 16, and that was a big part of shaping who I am now and how I cope with things, both for good and for ill. I don't know what kind of person I would be if that hadn't happened. And then the other one is when I was 20, I immigrated to the United States. So if I hadn't, I would literally be living an entirely different life. I would probably be trying to do kind of the same thing, but I'd still be back in Canada. And I certainly wouldn't have spent thousands of dollars on immigration fees. So, you know, that would have been nice. But yeah, those are like the two really big, obvious ones, I guess.
How about you, Jason?
I think my what if would be like, what if I didn't join the military? And I had enough money and what would my life be? Because I, you know, probably would have came out to Los Angeles a lot sooner, younger, but, definitely then I don't know what would have happened to me as my younger days gallivanting around Hollywood, like a young Tobey Maguire. So, and you know, we all know what he did. So go Google those stories, kids.
Or don't.
It depends on what you want to learn and how you want to learn it. If people want to find out more about you, where should they go? What should they do?
You can find me all over the internet at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important because Ashley Robinson is a WNBA player. I do not want to fight for SEO. You can also find our podcast, Geek History Lesson, at geekhistorylesson.com. We have 277 episodes out so far. So if you want to learn character histories, we have got your back. And a bunch of stuff that I'm under NDAs and I can't tell you about. So, Jason, where can they find you?
I mean, you can find me all over the internet at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. It stands for Jason William Inman. It's the first two letters of all three of my names. And that's Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, everywhere. And I have a book on Amazon called Super Soldiers, and you can go pick that up right now.
Oh, and if you like comics, please pre-order our comic book, Science, Elements of Dark Energy. It will be in shops in December.
All right. Thank you both for being on the show.
Thanks for having us. This was fun.
Excelsior.
Thank you for joining us for another week of Dynamic Duos. Catch us next week when we sit down to talk to Dusty White and Dusty Red of the Grey Muzzle Geekery podcast. With their take on live-action role-playing, the furry subculture, and growing up before geek was cool, we'll find out how this duo got its start. Until then, adventure awaits.
That was Dynamic Duos, Gabriel's entry into the editing challenge. On the next episode, we'll see how Bobby's doing with the challenge. And then finally, it'll be our judging and elimination episode where someone will win and someone will end their time in the competition. It's all coming up next time on America's Next Top Podcaster.